The next reader will be Jeremy Hallinan, whose first full-length book, What Other Choice, won the inaugural Exquisite Disarray First Book Poetry Contest and came out last year from Exquisite Disarray Publishing. Jeremy's poems spring from the page in pain and in play. He has a fine musical ear, a muscular style that truly packs a clout, and a delicacy so honed it can open a vein or break a heart. Exquisite indeed. As for the disarray, I'd say no. I'd say a wide array of aesthetic approaches that palpably transmit an intensely experienced life. Please join me in welcoming Jeremy Hallinan.
Thank you very much, Jim. And thank you, Conrad, for coming to read with me.
Thank you for having me.
I'm actually, to help us transition, I'm going to read some of my own Frank poems, which I started to write about 8 years ago when I initially met Conrad, and I think I'm about to 11 of them now, kind of slow with them, but... Today, Frank, you become a man. Frank's mother chants her new mantra on his 13th birthday as she strips him naked, heaves him onto the kitchen table, and ties him to it face up, one limb to each sturdy wooden leg. Next, in each of his nostrils and ears, she plants a purple birthday candle. Frank barely shuts his eyes in time. Let's have a staring contest, says Mother. Frank declines, so she grabs his thick penis, stabs two candles in his surprised urethra instead, and lights their lead-free wicks. While hot wax drips onto Frank's trembling thighs like semen, Mother lights the remaining seven candles and drops them, wick first, into his screaming mouth, then lights the candles in his ears and nose, and promptly blows them out. Happy birthday, Frank, she coos, you queer little cake. Then she turns to fetch the knife. So this one takes place a little bit later in time. Holding his wife's hand at his mother's funeral, Frank almost convinces himself he is holding his mother's hand at his wife's funeral and won't ever again have to fuck his wife. But not until his old lady pulls her hand from his and fondles his crotch during the eulogy is he certain his wife is the corpse. Frank's penis rises bravely in his slacks to push away his mother's hand, but proves no match for her strength. And finally, this one. When Frank is tired and alone, to keep his well of loveliness from drying up, he pictures transgender ghosts parading naked down Main Street, and the light passing freely through them. Okay, so now to a prose poem. Casualties of War. Only the oldest ghost knew my name. He asked me if he could hold my hand, said he'd been waiting for years. Knock yourself out, I said, not expecting to feel a thing. The others seemed to be hovering somewhere nearby, whispering about my body and whether they could possess it like a demon might. I didn't notice he'd held my hand until he let it go. This next poem is for Jonathan Williams, who was the person who introduced Conrad and me back in 2002. He passed, I believe, in 2007, 2008. So this poem is a very recent poem. I think it's my newest poem, and it's a goodbye to him, since I never was able to say it in person. It's called Cage. How the moment the bars seemed most solid, least a mirage, and the lock unpickable. I'm still a person, I think, I thought. Cagey, irresolute. And surely someone would have said yes had I asked. We never said goodbye. Like two fireflies that at night, to two men drinking whiskey on the rocks, seem a while not what they are, but helicopters lurching uncannily above distant hills. We were the whiskey in each glass. We were the rocks receding, diluting the whiskey, the blood in the men. We were closer, more fragile than we thought. This poem is shorter than it's going to sound. It's an erasure of the wasteland. And if I was sitting out there and someone told me that, I would probably say, oh no, it's going to take forever. But I actually did cut an enormous amount, so it's in five sections, as is The Wasteland, and it's called The Was Lad. One, hero dead. Is he cruel, breeding dead desire, us in forgetful snow, little life? When he took me, I was frightened. He said, hold on tight. What a handful of dust. He came late, and I could not. I was neither and nothing. Madame So-So is the drowned lady he carries on his back. Death, his eyes. Two, a game of he. He sat in the flames, troubled, confused, fattening their smoke. Burned as though by all the desert. Other fiery points were his eyes. We shall play a game, I said. I want a good time, a hot night. Three, the fires. He is broken. He fingers the wind unheard. Loitering, he sat down and wept, naked on the low, damp ground. The moon shone bright. He eyes the blind sailor home from sea. Perilously, the young man gropes his way. A lovely man alone, inexplicable. He wept. He promised nothing. Four, death. His bones whisper. Five, what he? He who was living is now dying, without water, without even the sound of water. There is no water. A man is a stumbling form, singing of his decay and his only. He was calm, falling down. So two more new poems, then read a few from the book. Shadow of Meth. You're riding him bareback, 15 yards from tracks in a hard rain, hair dripping. The train nears. You sense he's about to come. He appears to be crying, but it's likely just rain. His rhythm syncs with the train's. In passing, wheels fling from the track a scrap of metal, which slices through your neck as the train blows its whistle. Your trick is load, and you, yours. Your head falls toward his. Within seconds, he seems to be crying blood, but it's yours. Actually, I'm going to end on this other poem, so I'm going to do some other cheery stuff. Let's see, I'm going to have a little quieter poem for a second. A rather ordinary skull. I would say it is empty, were it not for the occasional and vague impression it is perhaps haunted by a moth whose wings cause a tenuous wind. Pause. I nailed your freshly severed hands to the stop sign at the end of our block. Drivers stop long enough now, as you always wanted, for it to be called a stop sign. You would be pleased at your flesh demonstrating how desire falls from the bone when the brain is gone. Though nailed hands can't clap, you would admire how their bones crack to let the marrow go. Where there's a fist, there's a way. Sometimes I think, now I know, but I probably don't. If I fuck, on average, 3,000 times a decade, should I be able to recall each ejaculation? A police car can be ejaculated on by many men and then photographed. And the photograph can be folded, the love note scratched into its surface just before bent. So I missed my ex-boyfriend's funeral. I was busy fisting my current boyfriend, his first time, if you must know. The moment the hand first enters the sphincter is one of transition. A non-energy-saving light bulb turning on at the entrance to the tunnel moment, like trying for years to prod a camel through the eye of a funnel, and finally forcing it through, creating two very personal eras, BF and AF, less a watershed moment than a shitshed one, separating the shits before from the shits after. The old sheep you've suddenly forgotten from the fascinating goats to come. Don't try that at home, folks. My cock is climbing Mount Everest. It must have been something in the cup of mushroom tea I drank. Something slippery like psilocybin. Or that when my closet's popcorn ceiling started popping and dropped on me faster than I could eat it, I darted out and bit the lavender head off the broken-stemmed iris you gave me instead. Perhaps it was some queer poison in the petals I didn't spit out in time, or a new look I saw in my iris's reflection in the toilet. Baby, do you ever try to see in that water how we got here? Is it possible, do you think, for me to be a girl hard as glass, even though I have a cock and like one up the ass? I don't want to be Jesus of Phagareth any longer. At 29, I have only 4 years left, and this time, rather than use a cross and spear, I fear they'll place my mouth behind my forehead and make me blow my queer out. This poem is for Greg Lehner, who I'm thinking maybe here, but I'm not sure. So this is for you, Greg, if you're here, and it's not here if you're not. This title reads right into the poem, so I'm just going to start and not stop until I'm done. Like a perhaps slap across a tongue that should sooner have slipped back into its cave, like a sudden grave that could not help but be dug and filled, like a dozen men who would be roses, stems together in a vase, if love were easy to replace. Okay, so one more from this, and then the final poem, and you're home free. Note. Sometimes beneath me, buildings rise, and I don't want to jump. I have lived longing for hard things, so I welcome buildings. No one can tell me the dying need doctors. They need new bodies and hardness only buildings can bring. If this building were a magnet, this body a magnet, would you understand why I was here? I didn't jump. The building disappeared. And I want to give a quick shout out to my sister who designed this book, and it's a beautiful cover, beautiful interior design. She's right here. Sorry. Do the spotlight. Finally, what's worst is you can't ask him to use protection. If you're dead and not a vampire, I'm sorry to say it, but your love life is going to be severely limited. If you don't get off on microorganisms or worms, your only source for post-mortem pleasure is the neighborhood necrophiliac. He may not be very attractive or circle socially in the best social circles, but those are the least of your concerns. You'll soon find yourself pregnant. And how will you rest in peace with a fetus ballooning your uterus like helium forced into a used condom under a massacre of stars? Thank you.
Thank you, poets.
Thank you.
Thank you, people who listen to them. And books are available, and I think perhaps signatures are too.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
That cover is great.
Reading my arms.